Oh. Oh.
Just a little something. Oh. You were in the studio, J Bell, when they were recording this one.
Oh, yes. Hey. Oh, I know this.
This is just the beat, though. We're not going to drop the lyrics.
We're not going to do it? Oh. When it was on, too, I was feeling myself. Yeah. I'm not even going to say the lyrics because I was feeling myself so much. It was a particular line where
you know what I mean?
I kind of was like, ooh, really? It was deep.
We got to wait for the thing to drop a little bit. There's a part coming where it's going to drop. So fire, man.
I like this. This is...
Oh, coming. Look at Simon. Simon just smiling.
Simon having flashbacks of his club days.
It's cool.
Oh.
Uprise.
I'm uprise. Extra swagged out. Extra swagged
what
out.
What we got for him today, J Bell?
Man, we got the J Bell and OC podcast live and direct in your whatever you subscribe to.
In your hood.
In your hood. Whatever you subscribe to. By the way, they need to. Everybody hit the subscribe button to whoever you subscribe to because that is super dope. We appreciate that. And
I like the way you're dressed today, Jason.
Really? It's cool?
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, thanks, bro. You know, you came in last week with that coat on.
So it's a competition?
No. Dang.
Is it a competition?
Is it? And I didn't know it?
Oh, yeah. I think that's what's going on. Kind of like how you...
I didn't know that.
How you hit me with a couple of haymakers on your predictions this week.
I don't come in here bragging, my brother.
How you hit me with a couple of haymakers?
I don't come in here bragging. But you can mention it just in case anybody wants to know what they are.
You know what, Jason?
I'm just, you know.
Let me tell you what's going on right now. Let me tell you what's going on right now in the NFL. Okay?
Okay, talk to me.
Between me and you.
Uh-huh.
Here's the facts.
Okay.
Neither one of us knows what the hell's going on.
Fact number one, we both, from week to week,
we don't know what's going on.
That's why they call it gambling, right?
Like, this team, they all lose. Like, wow. I thought for sure they were going to win.
Why?
This is the beauty of the NFL.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not like...
It's beautiful.
No disrespect to soccer.
No.
Okay. No disrespect to the Premier League.
Yeah. Got it. We give all sports their due respect because we're sportsmen.
Straight up.
Yeah.
La Liga, Serie A.
Stuff I don't know about.
You kind of know who's going to win those games pretty much every single week.
Right.
You have a really good idea.
I'm going with you on this.
NFL? You literally don't have a clue.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
No clue. I will say this. We got two undefeated teams,
yes.
Right? KC and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Cardinals won, no team has – every team has a win.
Everybody's winning.
Everybody has at least a win.
Everybody's a winner.
Man, I don't – I feel like there's something kind of coming back to normal now where – teams are kind of doing what they were doing before, you know. I mean, they're kind of who they are. Because a couple weeks ago, I was just like, I when the Bills beat the Vikings, I didn't know what to think about football. I was like, you know what? I don't know.
Right. I just don't know.
I don't know. But I didn't want to admit it until you admitted it for both of us that it's crazy.
Especially right now, there's no telling what's going
to
happen.
It's crazy. You know, I wanted to even say another thing is. Every week we've had an overtime game.
Yeah. That is a lot.
And
it's been Cleveland, hasn't it?
So Cleveland has played so many overtime games. It's almost like playing an extra game.
Yo,
I think they played three extra overtime. Quarters of football.
Yeah, that's like 45 minutes, ain't it?
I wonder. It'd be good to look at the end of the year and see if they start breaking down. Like, say they start, you know, they get on a roll or whatever, and then they just fall off a cliff because they're just exhausted because of that extra time being played.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot. I mean, that stuff adds up, right? I mean, we're talking about it, but, man, you only got so many plays in you.
Too much. You know what doesn't add up?
What?
My boys,
uh-huh.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, riding up to Kansas City and getting smacked around.
Yo, what do you think about that game?
Like, okay.
What is your first, if you had one sentence to say, like just one thought?
Bad Blake Bortles.
Oh, man. Blakey B.
Bad Blakey B.
Man.
Here's the thing that confuses me about that guy. Mm-hmm. He can be so good and so bad at the same time. There needs to be a level of consistency, or else it's so frustrating. They have such a good team.
It's so frustrating, and he is week to week. I was looking at this statistic. It's like, plays good, plays bad. Plays good, plays bad. He doesn't string them together. What do you think that is? Like, does he go back? Does he look at the film? Does he get the heat from the team? Mm-hmm. And he's a competitor. Mm-hmm. I mean, he obviously. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yo, I'm going to do it this week, or I'm going to figure it out. And then the next week he's like, okay, I'm kind of good. I'm feeling it. I got this. And then off a cliff.
Some people don't know how to handle success. Some people just, you need to talk bad to them. At all times.
Yes.
You need to keep them down in the dump. You know, there's different kind of people, you know, that respond to different kinds of coaching. There's some people who respond to positive reinforcement, and there's some people who respond to negative reinforcement. And it seems like this guy, when you tell him, hey, you're balling Blake Bortles, he says, you know what? Not so much.
You know what? That's very true. And as you know, coaches treat people differently. Okay, just what you said. And they know how to motivate guys. They know how to talk to you a certain way to get the best out of you. But they're scared to motivate quarterbacks in a negative way. They'll come to a guy like me and be like, you got to talk crazy to Jay Bell and he's going to ball.
Right.
You know, you talk, tell him he's the worst player ever. I mean, they always kind of actually did talk to me like this. But maybe I just had to ball because of that. I mean, they knew how to motivate you.
Yeah.
You know, they tried things early on in your career, and then they adjusted. But if they had to light a fire, they knew how to talk to you in a proper way. But they're just so scared to talk to quarterbacks like that. Everybody else on the field, besides kickers, get that kind of treatment. Am I right?
I think you're correct. I think you're absolutely correct, man. And I think it's such a mental game with the quarterback. Mm. That you got to treat them almost with kid gloves in a way. You don't really want to, because once it goes mentally, they might be done.
They might be done.
They might be finished.
And you don't want to chance that. Especially think about all these teams and these coaches. I mean, everybody's fighting for their job. So you don't want to chance it with a dude that's going to still be there when you're gone, especially.
Yeah.
And then somebody else come in and have success because they talk to him differently. Mm-hmm. And then you got to carry that into your coaching career wherever you go. So it's shaky, but what would Tom Coughlin say to him, though?
Tom Coughlin.
That's the
– Tom Coughlin wouldn't
– VP of player – what is his thing?
Yeah, he wouldn't be putting up with that, man. From what I know about Tom Coughlin.
But because he's not the coach, do you think Coughlin's coming down and talking to him, or do you think he's just translating that through the staff?
He's definitely getting that through Doug Marrone, man. Yeah. Speaking of Coughlin, Coughlin is that an Irish name? Is that an Irish last name? No. Coughlin? Or would it be O'Coughlin? Yeah. Coughlin is an Irish last name.
It could have been O, and then he dropped the O.
Coughlin.
Yeah.
And just hearing that name reminded me of an Irishman.
I hope you didn't talk about this, man. Oh, man.
Reminded me of an Irishman this weekend got bloodied.
It was beatdowns on and off the field.
Your boy.
Yeah, you know my boy, Adi Attar, is his agent. I played college with Adi, a good friend of mine. Actually, met Connor in New York. Good dude, chilled out with him, cool. So, of course, I'm going for him.
Yeah.
Plus my Irish descent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're half Irish.
My Irish descent in there.
Right. He wasn't so lucky, though.
Yeah, it was a bad matchup, man. I was worried about this fight. You know, whenever you go against those wrestlers, man, when they get on top of you, they call it being like a wet blanket.
Yeah.
You know, you throw a wet blanket on you, you just can't get it off you. Yeah, I didn't stay up to watch it. It was too late, but I watched a replay. Yeah, it wasn't good.
I stayed up to watch that. Yeah. Okay. I stayed up. I fell asleep, set my alarm clock, because I was so excited about watching this. I woke up around 5 o'clock, went right upstairs, turned on BT Sport, and I was watching this madness unfold right in front of me.
Oh, man.
This guy literally took McGregor apart.
Yeah.
Beat him silly from the beginning of the fight.
Yeah.
To the end of the fight. Now, here's my problem.
Tell me.
Conor McGregor talked with so much conviction and so much swagger had me kind of believing, you know, he might be able to do something against this guy.
Yep.
But here's what we got to call Conor McGregor out on. He can't be behaving like that. Some of the things that he said and some of the things that he did crossed the line. And the way Khabib responded, even though it was ridiculous, obviously jumping out of it.
Yeah, now that's a no-go.
That's a no-go. But in some instances, they're just certain people who you just can't talk to like that, man. And you got to understand how people are. You know, you have to understand how people are. Some people are, you know, they'll be like, okay, cool, yeah, we're just messing around.
Yeah.
Some people take that type of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a culture thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not going to talk to these people like that.
And that's the thing about it is the cultural awareness or lack of. And I think that we've made jokes about this, about opponents you play against, right? I know with some receivers, you talk crazy to them.
Yeah.
It affects them. And some dudes, you don't want to wake a sleeping bear.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, why is he balling today? Like, he's never played this well on tape ever. But you've just done something or said something, and you have ruined yourself for the day.
Yeah.
And I get the psychological warfare that takes place and why fighters do that kind of stuff. And they're promoting the fight, right? Get it crazy. But you don't know sometimes how guys respond. A lot of guys go in the tank with that.
Yeah.
If it didn't work, nobody would try it, OC. If talking crazy to people didn't affect them, if it always turned in the other person's favor, then we'd all look historically and say, hey, we probably shouldn't do that. It doesn't work for the person talking. But it kind of works out. I mean, when you went out there, and I'm not even going to say his name because he went to my high school, but you destroyed someone getting sacks on him. What did you say?
I wasn't talking to him, though.
What were you saying, though? Did you say anything to anybody?
I wasn't talking to him. I wasn't like... First of all, I wasn't a big trash talker.
How many sacks was it that game?
Six of them.
Oh, my.
Six pieces.
I don't know if everybody understands what that does. Six sacks, period, is crazy. But one person giving up six sacks?
It was bad.
It ruined this man's career.
It did. And you know what else about that, Jason?
His career.
His career was ruined. And every time they mentioned his name, it was, this is the guy that gave up six sacks to O.C. Umenyora every single time.
O.C., he can't go back to Long Beach, California.
I felt bad about that.
I
felt bad about it. I did.
Yeah.
I did. And, you know, I want to see him, and I kind of want to apologize for doing what I had to do.
It's too late, O.C.
I know. But it was...
It's too late.
Everybody who talks about him, that's all they say. He gave up six. And he was a pretty good player. He played for a long time,
He was athletic, great. I mean, yeah, it's just bad matchup, bad night. It happens, and hopefully the rematch, we'll see how that works, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see, man. I mean, you don't want to see anybody. You know, the first thing I thought about was when that whole melee happened.
Okay.
You know, like, I have to have a visa out here. And I'm thinking, man, you boys are treading. You might get your visa revoked. Like, you can't act like that. And that's the first thing Dana White from the UFC said. He was like, man, these guys got to get visas to come out here. I was like, man, they playing with fire. Like, you gotta know what you're doing. That being said, I want to talk about something.
What you got for me, Jay?
We got to talk about our Giants. I want to talk about this interview.
Okay.
I want to talk about this interview. Odell Beckham Jr., who is a global superstar, got the big deal, got the big contract. He did an interview.
Yeah.
And he talked about some things, talked about some offensive frustrations and things of that nature, and other things. And I'm not mad about that.
Okay. Where are you going with this, Jason?
I'm not mad about it. I just want to know, because this is my question. I'm not mad about that because I expect great receivers to want the ball all the time. Give it to me. Let me play. This isn't the beginning. But he did it sitting next to Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. You know, album just came out. Lil Wayne's back in the game. He's relevant. He's hot. Like, if he would have did this when Lil Wayne was on the shelf a little bit, trying to get back in the game, I'd have been like, yo, that's dedication. That's, you know, dedication. That's your boy. Hold him down. But no, Lil Wayne's hot again right now.
Right.
So you're sitting next to Lil Wayne. Now, my question is, forget all that. How does a dude like O.C. Strahan, how do you when that guy comes in the locker room, a big paid wide receiver,
yeah,
and does something like that, in front, kind of fronts out your QB and all that kind of stuff, I feel like that gets checked. I feel like somebody says something about that.
I'll say this, Jason, because, you know, I've met Odell. I like Odell.
Got no problem. Like him, too.
Good dude.
You meet him, he is cool to everybody.
Real good dude. But I'll say this. With people like Strahan, myself, Keith Hamilton.
Hammer.
And Trell Rowe. People like that on the team, Odell doesn't even attempt to do something like that. You understand what I mean?
I totally understand.
He doesn't even – you don't even attempt. You don't make an attempt to do something like that because there's – you know, I'm not sitting over here saying I'm a, you know, big tough guy or anything like that, but there's repercussions to things of that nature. And, you know, as a player, as the face of the franchise, you got to come back in that locker room and you got to deal with the other people there.
Yep.
I think what's going on in New York is just not enough people with that kind of character and leadership. Everything is Odell. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Everything is Odell.
Yes.
Tremendous player, tremendous receiver. Everything
he deserves that kind of attention.
Odell.
Yeah.
And so he can come out and he can, you know, say things like that and do things like that, and everybody has to. But in our time, it was just so many of us. You understand?
Yeah,
it was many of us.
I saw it, man.
So many.
You knew the deal.
Yeah. So you're one of ten, as opposed to one of one.
Yes. Yes. But to your point, and the reason I even thought about this is, friend of the show,
yeah,
Willie Mack. You know my man Willie McGinnis. He's got that Football Life on Game Pass right now, and he works for the NFL. Great commentator. I heard the comments on him, and I know Willie from growing up, but it was like you heard everybody. I mean, you heard the head man.
Yeah.
You heard Belichick say, nobody basically wanted to try Willie.
Nobody wanted no
nobody,
part of that.
Nobody. But in a nice way, without exposing him, they were like, nobody wanted that.
Yeah.
And on that team, he was the guy, no matter what was going on in Patriots teams, and people don't know about what happens in the locker room unless somebody tells you.
Yeah.
He's the dude going, nah, you're not going to act like this.
Yeah.
He was the enforcer on that team that had that success. You got to have an enforcer in the locker room.
Jason,
true?
Jason, you told me something, I think it might have been 2 years ago, and I will never forget this in my entire life because it was literally one of the truest. Is truest the word?
I like truest.
It was literally one of the truest statements I've ever heard. He said, in order for your football team to be successful, you have to have a guy who is either in prison or he's on this football field. Hey. Listen,
oh my God.
Must have that guy who is either in prison or he's on the football field.
Oh.
And there's no, that was the truest, it's a fact. That is an absolute fact.
I would not say that anywhere except on our podcast.
It's a fact.
Because these are our peoples.
It's a fact.
You have to have a dude where you look at him and you go, whoo, thank God for football. Your team can't be made up of those guys.
You need
but you
one.
Have one guy you that you one. Are like, he could hurt me. And on a level that I'm not willing or ready to go to. Like, I'm not willing to engage with this individual like this.
And
because
that's the guy who checks
everybody. Willie Mack, we're not saying that about you, but you got characteristics of somebody you don't want to try or challenge.
Sheesh.
And I think that everybody needs to realize when you look at teams that have success, you always look at the stars. You look at the guys making the plays. But how that locker room stays together and who runs that locker room, nobody on the outside really knows.
Nope.
Because a guy checking people is not telling people he's checking people. Because he's in there checking you and you know it's real.
And he's crucial.
He is crucial. He is what it's about. There's that guy on every team that's like that. And if you don't have that, you don't have success. And that's why veteran players on teams is so important. The right veteran players, right?
Mm-hmm.
The right nucleus, core, group of guys. They talk about the core. That's the core, guys like that. And I've played on three teams, and I remember getting to New York and watching that defensive line and watching arguably your best two players, your defensive ends, and they just had that, man, and I witnessed it. So enough of OC being the leader. This hey. Is the Jay Bell and OC podcast. Anyways, we got Wembley this week, bro.
Wembley.
Yo.
Big game.
I've been kind of getting that little feeling like, you know, it's like I'm a little thrown off.
Okay, why?
Because I'm a little pumped up, man.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the nerves because I'm not nervous, but I'm really excited.
Seattle, Oakland,
man.
Massive.
Raiders.
They need to win.
Both these teams need to win, which is going to make a good game because they're going to go, we need to get on this plane with a victory. You've been through this.
Yep. Twice.
Yes. And won a Super Bowl off of the back of this.
Yep.
So you know what it did winning here, getting back on that plane, getting into winning ways.
It was our first game. We played the first game ever out here in 2007. And Jason, things have changed so much since then. NFL UK has done such a great job.
Amazing, man.
We came out there, we're playing literally on a soccer pitch, so it was real slippery. It was raining.
Mm-hmm.
The whole week prior to that, we just had a good time. We didn't come out here to play football. We didn't.
I'm not gonna comment on that because I know all about it.
We didn't come here to play. We didn't come here to play ball. We came here to have a good time. And Jason Bell, we did exactly that.
Oh, I know.
The fact that we were able to play a game on Sunday was a miracle in itself. And I think now it's not a novelty anymore.
No.
This is serious business. For the past 6-7 years, teams coming out here, this is like part of, like, you got to come out here and you got to win. You got to be serious.
Huge. Yeah.
And so I like the way things have progressed, man. I'm so excited to get to this game, man. Even though I'm really disappointed in the Oakland Raiders. I thought they'd be a much better team.
Yeah.
But come on.
I mean, there's some stars.
Plenty of them.
Yeah. And you know, when you got two high-power quarterbacks like these teams do.
Is Derek Carr a high-power quarterback?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. I mean,
what do you think, Simon? Is he?
I think he can be.
Okay.
Yeah, he can be. He can be and should be. I think he's having issues. I think their issues are more in the red zone. They got some big plays a couple weeks ago, but I think when they get down the red zone, they're not scoring. And the problem is they got to score. They got to score like Kansas City to win.
Yeah.
Because this defense is – first of all, when you see dudes rotating on a high level on defense – now, I know what's the coordinator's name? When he was at Cincinnati, he did this. Gunther. Yeah.
Paul Gunther.
He likes to kind of rotate guys and play guys a little more than other people. But, I mean, it's a melee. There's hardly any consistency who's
that
out
means,
there.
They, that means they don't know. They don't
that
know who
they
that
don't
guys
know.
Are.
They're telling on themselves. Mm-hmm. So we kind of knew they had to score a bunch of points to be effective. They're not. What does this say about this John Gruden offense? You know.
You think in the 10 years that he left and, you know, he was commentating, great commentator.
He is.
But you think the game passed him by? Because
it could have.
It's not – nothing is clicking for
him. Yeah, it could have. It's – I think that he's always a guy who loves veteran teams. Like, he doesn't – I guess the word is he's not really into teaching guys how to be good pros. He wants a good pro, teach him the system, do your thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I get, right? Because it's hard to develop some guys when you can go get a guy and be like, that OC is a pro.
Yeah.
He can do it. I like that. It's good for vet players, but I don't know. He just – there's no talent on that defense. And you know, the move he made with Khalil Mack, you just start to look like – I know you had a bad defense, but, I mean,
Sheesh. You're
not helping yourself. But, yes, it can be high-powered. When your back's against the wall and you start letting loose the cannon, you never know what's going to happen. And you know Russell Wilson is going to
– He's going to make magic happen.
Man, that guy runs around and doesn't take brutal hits, man.
Yeah.
He's the only guy who moves around like that doesn't, like, get – his head knocked off. He says something, too. I know you did the interview with him. I'd met him briefly. And I don't know how we got to start talking about yoga. But he's really into yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he knows that's his advantage in his game, like being limber, being smooth, being.
He plays like that too.
And I was like, I was like, yo, he's right. And he was really into it. And now you look at how he bends and moves, and he's like, this is my advantage.
Yeah.
And that's what you see, you know.
I love watching that cat play.
I mean, he's gonna move around. He's going to make it happen. I'm excited. It's going to be a good game. Seattle's running the ball better, at least last week. So you want to see them continue to do that because they have success when they do that. And we're going to see two teams get after it.
Let's get it, man. We're going to be there.
Oh, we're going to make it fun. Check us out. We will know what we're talking about during the game as it's happening.
As it's happening. We'll be able to point out exactly what's going on.
As it's happening, we'll be able to point out what's happening. It's that time of the podcast, my brother.
What is this?
It's the
what is this?
It's the Ask OC, Ask J Bell.
I'm going to answer all my questions in African voice, in my Nigerian voice. So ask the question.
Ask the question.
You better ask this question correct, too.
You want to hear a funny one?
Why are you stumbling? Ask this question. Ask it.
Okay. All right. This is from Mo Stewart. I got a lot of friends named Mo, too, by the way. It's all good. With so many players getting season-ending injuries, what is it like in the locker room when it happens? Do you think... Am I next? Have you seen it affect players in practice or even games? How do they bounce back from injuries? That is a good question. Oh, by the way, Mo is wearing a pretty fly Green Bay Packers hoodie in this profile pic. Okay. So do you think he's Aaron Rodgers memories probably, or something? Yeah. Probably. But anyways, go to this because this is a good one.
It is, and I think it's a difficult situation because we're trained to kind of just move on. It's so strange. In practice, a guy gets hurt.
Tell him exactly how this happens, OC.
Tell you exactly what happened. You're practicing, a guy gets injured, boom. The coach looks at the guy, and then he looks at the team's like, 5 yards up, 5 yards up. And so they just move the drill 5 yards up and leave the guy right there, laying down, and nothing stops.
It's not like a game where you see this whole thing happen, people coming out caring about you.
Nothing.
They literally move practice away from your body.
And you're just there laying down.
You are a body.
That's it.
And if any time you know it, it's in practice. Yep. And that's the first thing I thought, man. And it's cold because what you just said, you just get used to it.
You get used to it.
You have to.
Yeah.
If you worry about injuries, right, you get injured.
Yeah. So that's not – I know it sounds weird. That is the furthest thing from my mind when we're out there. We just block it out and just keep going.
After it's over, you're going to go see about your friend and ask and whatever. But, man, yeah. Lee asked this question. What is the best stadium to play in?
Best stadium to play in? That is a really good question. I would say, for me, it used to be the old school, the Redskins. Well, it's still the same Redskins. It's the Redskins.
And why is that, OC? Why is that?
Oh, you had a good time going there, man. You had a real good time playing against the Redskins. They used to have this thing where, I'm a married man. So I can't talk about that. Next question.
Oh, that leads us into another question, but you just answered it. A lot of people, more than a few, a lot, have asked, if OC has a girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend.
No, you don't have a girlfriend. No,
I am a married man. Been married for quite a while now.
Lovely.
Yeah, let's not I don't know how to move forward on that question because Layla doesn't play no games,
no,
man.
No, Layla might not allow me to come to our dinners anymore. It was a question I wanted to get out there. You clarified it. Layla, it's your boy J Bell. It's all good. This is a cool one. Sean, he asked, with Brits coming through the NFL now, will we ever see a British quarterback in the NFL?
Absolutely.
I totally think so.
And that's what we're working on.
Yeah.
We're building a pipeline.
Yep.
And the quarterback position is a tough one. It's not like, you know, defensive lineman or linebacker or receiver. It's a tough one because this is something that you have to have played for quite a while.
Yep.
But I think with what we're doing out here, with the things that, you know, Alistair and all of them have cooking up,
yep,
I think within the next couple of years, you're going to see you're going to see something like that happen. Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially with all the academies, right? You get a guy out here who shows he's got talent. Next thing you know, he could be at one of the big school academies in the States, you know, in high school. And from there, you just go.
Yeah.
So I totally think so. I have an off-the-wall question before we get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
When is it too early to start your best man speech, like writing it?
When is it too early?
Yeah. Like how far out? I'm working on it. You know, my brother's getting married, so I'm working on the best man speech. But I needed to talk to you about it because it's in June, July, one of the two. But when is it too early?
This is definitely way too early. This is way too early.
Anybody who's been through this knows there's a little pressure on that.
Well, here's what I'll say. You know your brother. You understand what I mean? You know the situation. I think just wait till maybe a couple of weeks before.
Okay.
And then let everything just kind of pour out of you, man.
Cool. So, I mean, I needed to know that.
Let it all pour out of you, man.
Man.
Kind of like, you know, the Uprise music.
Get that Uprise on because right now, this is Wembley week. We going to Uprise all the way to the weekend. Holla at me.
It's just so soulful.
Swagged out. It's
so,
you know,
soulful.
It's all about that young love out there. That young love.
And I look in the mirror. Hey, wait till you guys hear this one.
Hey, it was hitting. I was in the studio feeling myself. I got a little emotional. I had to leave early.
Jason, why were the tears coming out? What was that?
It's just that young love.
I know.
Everybody understands that young love.
Hey. Uprise.
We out. Holla at us.